Today is Saturday, May 23rd, 2015, and this...
We are going to continue in show business. Next month, be June in Las Vegas, which, by the way, is the time to go to Las Vegas. Paul and I will be debuting our new act at Caesar's Palace with our white tigers.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 504.
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight.
Where we're feeling very festive this evening.
Oh, Lord. Saturday night recording on a holiday weekend. That means we be drinking. So, welcome to that.
Some of us more than others, possibly.
If you're not a fan of the drinking shows, this might not be the one for you. But if you like to hear us ramble on under the influence of alcohol, enjoy. We haven't done one of these in a while, so.
Yeah, we haven't.
So, there you go. I'm feeling pretty good.
By a while, you mean how many weeks?
It's been a while. It seems like a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was 500 drunk? That was 4 weeks ago.
I don't even know.
That was 5 weeks ago.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. Oh, Zoe's cranky.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of news to talk about, a bunch of phone calls, good stuff, and then we're going to continue on our drinking ways after the show as well.
Yeah.
I may Periscope during our recording a little bit.
Okay.
In a little while. So prepare for that if you're okay with it.
Okay.
And even if you're not, I probably will anyway.
Whatever.
All right.
You do you.
I do me? What does that mean?
You haven't heard that?
No, that's the dumbest thing ever.
You know what?
One of many phrases I will never utter, along with use your words.
Use your
words. As I mentioned the other
day. You know what we've been
Twitter.
Uttering lately, though?
Time out.
Yes.
I've tried to avoid referring to the dog's...
Special kennel time.
I'm calling them kennel breaks because I have a hard time with timeout because I did not sign up to be a fucking parent.
Did we mention the diaper genie yet?
We'll talk about this stuff on our other podcast,
okay.
Our non-Vegas podcast, which we'll be recording after this one. We'll
talk
way more dog stuff than anyone wants to hear. But if you want to hear it, you can listen to it. It's dyslexicheart.com.
Let's just say there have just been some life non-child changes that we were... not prepared for that we're just going with.
Yeah. But we want to talk about Las Vegas because that's what this show is about.
All right.
So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's start with some big news today because it happened late last night. The state legislature approved a bill that opens the door for Uber and Lyft to return to Las Vegas and other cities, which pretty much just means Reno. Although I suppose if they really wanted to, they could operate in the rural areas.
What about Carson City? How big is Carson City?
I don't know. It's not going to happen. Anyway, as far as we're concerned, who cares about anything else except for Vegas? And Uber is going to be returning soon. And this is good news, as far as I'm concerned.
For consumers.
Exactly. The governor,
not so much for the guy you were arguing with on Twitter this morning.
We'll get to that in a second. The governor is expected to sign the bill, so it's going to become law. Now, as far as the specifics, when Uber set up shop in the fall for a brief time before they got shut down... they voluntarily stayed away from the tourist areas, mm-hmm. like the Strip and Fremont Street. However, who knows? Now they're probably kind of pissed off that they got shut down in the first place, and maybe they'll say, fuck it.
All right, open season everywhere.
Yeah, unless the city and county have something that they pass that says, no, you can't do that here. I don't know. I would think state law would probably supersede any... it depends how this thing is written. I haven't read the actual law.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Uber will be back. So here's this thing. I got into a little spat with a cabbie this morning on Twitter because I posted, suck it, crooked cabbies, Uber
and
returns.
Initially, the first person who responded was like,
one of our listeners.
This sucks because I'm a good cabbie. And it does suck for the good cabbies.
Right. If it affects them, it which it will, I suppose, to some extent. But,
It sucks for the non-long hauling
But our interaction was reasonable. Yeah. And then this guy who I did, apparently he followed me too, but I never followed him. He jumped in and just started going after me. And the fucking internet. I don't mind debating topics. I like to debate topics.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to debate topics.
It's good to have a healthy discussion, but this was not a healthy discussion.
Well, some people aren't capable of debating a topic correctly. Like, rather than debate, stick to the point, they'll be like, yeah, well, he did this. He started in with things like, when are you going to start going after $20 cocktails? I'm like, well, if I choose to buy a $20 cocktail, I know it's $20 before I pay for it. That's not the
case with long hauling.
Right. So
if it's a $5 cab ride and I'm being charged $20.
Right. So that's, and so he started going on and on about all these reasons that this was wrong. And it was a bunch of conspiracy theory stuff. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know whether that's right or not. I don't care. I do not give two fucking shits about any of the politics behind this. I don't care whether it's fair for cabbies or not. All that I care about is having a reasonable idea of what I'm going to pay before I get into a car for transportation.
Whether it's a cab or Uber or Lyft.
Exactly. And the cab industry hasn't cleaned itself up, so you know what? Fuck you. You're going to get some competition. Tough shit. I don't care anymore. I'm sorry if this hurts some people.
It sucks for the good cabbies.
Of which 10% of the cabbies in Vegas are good. The rest of them are a bunch of fucking thieves. There are as many crooked cabbies as there are clean ones there, and I just don't give a shit anymore. And you know what? I don't care about the politics. I'm sorry, and maybe I should. Maybe I should be more concerned with the stuff behind it. It's the same thing, you know. Every once in a while, someone will post something in the Facebook group about like union stuff. Like, there's a picket line here. I don't care. I honestly do not give a shit about any of that stuff.
And I feel that I should be more educated on it, but I just.
I'm sorry, I don't. I'm going on vacation. I just want to have a good time. I don't care what you're bickering about. Mm-hmm. And maybe that makes me a bad citizen. Fine. I don't give a shit.
I mean, I research before I vote, but I don't look at what hotels are union and non-union before I go on vacation. And again, yeah, like you said, maybe that makes me a bad person. But
well, it doesn't make us. I don't think it makes us bad people. But
I think there are good things and bad things about unions.
And let's not even
talk about that.
And you know what? I'm going to say right now, if
this becomes a discussion on the Facebook group, it's getting shut down.
I'm deleting it. I'm not using the Facebook group is not going to be a place for political kind of shit.
No, please God, no. But the Facebook group and I feel bad for even like bringing this into it. The show should be an escape from that. And so should the Facebook group. It should be, you know, Vegas, good times.
As should Vegas. And that's just it. And that's why all that stuff. I get it. I get that there are issues. I get that some people feel really strongly about it.
Yes, totally.
I just do not give a shit. Yeah. When I go on vacation, I want an escape. I just want to have a good time. Maybe that makes me an asshole. Fine, I'm a fucking asshole.
Just that makes you an asshole?
No, that's one of many things that contributes to me being an asshole. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. But anyway, Uber's coming back.
That was a fun segment, wasn't it?
I know. I'm happy about this, and a lot of people are happy about this. And
is it? I guess as a consumer, I want choice.
Yeah. I just want fairness and competition.
And I want to know how much my ride is going to be.
Yeah, a reasonable idea.
And again, Uber can be kind of shady too.
You know what though? It can kind of, but you know, the people who complain about the surge pricing, surge pricing thing is it's before you agree to it, you're told
exactly what the amount is.
This is going to be four times rate or whatever the rate is. So,
and we've paid that.
Yeah, we did once. It wasn't four times, but it was a high rate.
It was high rate. But then you hear about the people who are like, oh my God, I paid $400 for this cab ride home while you saw it physically on the screen and you pressed okay.
Yeah, so then you're a dipshit.
Yeah.
So I don't have any sympathy for that. But anyway.
But it is good to know that Uber can charge very high rates for things.
Sure. I'm just in favor of the option.
And Lyft, I have no idea about.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
know that I passed somebody who had a Lyft sticker on 35W, and they were a really shitty driver, but I'm sure they don't represent all Lyft people.
If they just had a sticker, they weren't lifting. The Lyft ones are the ones with the big fuzzy mustache in the front of their car.
Oh,
and fuck that shit. Okay. I'm not getting into a car with a big dumbass mustache on it.
Do you have a predisposition against mustaches?
Nor will I get into a car with a driver with a really dumb big mustache. And I'm not saying all mustaches are dumb. I'm saying if you have a mustache that looks like the one on the front of the Lyft car, no can do business.
What about a bartender with that mustache serving you a drink?
I will accept his drink and then I'll talk shit about him later for being a hipster douche.
Okay.
This is a fun show.
What about Mad Men? How do you feel about the mustaches on Mad Men?
Speaking of hipster douches, let's talk about Life is Beautiful.
You're just ignoring that and going on to the next segment. That's okay.
The Life is Beautiful Festival is returning to downtown Las Vegas for the third year. It's going to be earlier this year. Previously, it's been in October.
Yep. This Usually year, the weekend after VIMP.
It is. This year, it's a month earlier, September 25th through the 27th. Before even announcing the lineup, this is common for festivals, music mm-hmm. festivals these days. They do early bird and advanced tickets. $195 for early bird, $235 for advanced. Those sold out within like 48 hours.
Unlike, say, I don't know, what festival just happened a week ago, Rock in Rio?
Yeah. Yeah. But who knows? You know what? Two festivals from now, maybe Rock in Rio will be selling out too.
Yeah.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. But maybe they'll learn a thing
or two. How long has Life is Beautiful been around?
This is the third year.
Okay.
Yeah. So the general admission tickets are now available. They are $255 for the entire 3-day event, and there are also some VIP packages, but they announced their lineup this week, and I wanted to talk about that. I did not pull musical clips, so I will not be singing along. Unless I sing some, I could sing a cappella, since that goes with a story we're going to talk about later. But I probably won't, unless I'm, I don't know, we'll see. Okay, so anyway, some of the major headlining acts, there are 3 days, so there's really three headliners, but some of the major acts include Stevie Wonder.
Nice.
Thumbs up. Legend. Imagine Dragons, hometown heroes mm-hmm. from Las Vegas. I'm sick of them. I don't want to hear them ever again, but you know what?
You hate the name because you hate dragons.
Maybe, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but maybe you're right. I don't like the name of the band. The band itself, I'm kind of...
They're okay.
They're okay, but eh.
I don't feel passionately about them either way.
I'm largely indifferent to their music. I don't hate them. I don't love them. So Kendrick Lamar.
Does he do the rap on the new version of Bad Blood by Taylor Swift?
I think he does. Yes, actually, I know he does. I think he also performed.
Which improved that song tremendously.
Yeah, that song sucked on the album.
Yeah.
I think he also did something on one of the new, on Prince's Third Eye. It was on the Third Eye Girl? One of the Prince albums that came out. I think he might have done something.
Is he
too.
The new Dougie Fresh?
One can hope not for his career.
Right.
Duran Duran is going to be performing.
Yes. Yes. And there is an article, was it DTLV.com?
Yes, DTLV.com, which is a great downtown Las Vegas website.
They do good work. And they interviewed John Taylor, who
I have in love with.
Loved for many a year and will love for many more.
Since you were a prepubescent youngin.
Uh-huh. And he said something interesting.
Yes, he did.
About, we're looking forward to playing this festival, and we'd be interested in a residency.
Yeah, he said he's a big fan of Las Vegas
residencies. I completely
residencies.
Messed up that word, but you know what I'm saying, people.
He's a big fan of Las Vegas residencies and said
someday. Because I'm so goddamn excited about the prospect of it, I can't even speak correctly.
He said the key with the residencies is getting the place that you're playing to build a theater exclusively for you or adapt the venue just for you. So he's not talking like the 1 week or 1 month hard rock
thing.
He wants to come in and do like a long-term thing.
And if he does...
Shit, man, I'd be all over that.
We would see multiple shows.
I love Duran Duran. We've loved Duran Duran. During the the slump...
We saw Duran Duran in clubs in the late 90s.
When nobody was going to see them. It was like two original members.
It was Nick and Simon.
But they put out some really good music during that era, too.
They really did.
And now they've got most of the guys back together. Andy is gone again, but they still put out some pretty good music. So
They have a new album out in September, so that's a good promotional thing for them to be playing this festival.
I know. We're not going, but I'm happy to see they're playing this.
Yes.
Hozier.
If I hear that fucking Take Me to Church song one more goddamn time.
You know who's Hozier than Hozier?
Hosiest.
Exactly. That's my stupid joke I posted the other day. Weezer. I love me some Weezer.
I love Weezer.
One of the best pop bands.
Huge fan of their latest album, but they've got a really solid career. They're really good performers. They're fun to see. I would totally go see them.
I love Weezer. We've seen them a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you to go see Weezer whenever they come to a town near you. They're
agreed.
Fun. Death Cab for Cutie. Feeling it's on them.
Didn't we see Weezer and Foo Fighters on the same bill once?
Yes, the Foozer tour.
Oh my God, that was so great.
Yes. Yep. I saw Weezer with Live. I
was there too.
Separately. We didn't know each other yet, did we?
That was at First Avenue.
Were we there together?
Yeah.
What year was that?
Fatima Mansions opened and they sucked ass.
That's right. We were there together. All the years blend together. I don't know who I went to what shows with. I thought that was earlier, like before we were a thing.
Before us.
Yeah. I better stop talking. Death Cab for Cutie. Any feelings on Death Cab for
Cutie? I better stop talking. Now I'm going to continue to talk about something else.
Yes.
I've heard they're good live. I don't know that I would go see them live because they're very quiet and introspective. And I have a feeling their audience would talk through half the fucking show and I'd want to punch them all in the head.
We'll cover that on our other podcast, too.
So I would rather sit at home and listen to their albums. Brandon, but I do like their music.
Brandon Flowers, another hometown hero from The Killers. He's doing a solo show.
I think he'd be good, but I think I like him as part of The Killers better.
I concur. Anyway, there are a bunch of other bands. There's like, 60 bands or something at this?
Yeah.
And then they have a food aspect and some other stuff, too. But it's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. If you're into music festivals, go.
Solid lineup. And a lot of the lesser-known bands are pretty solid, too. There's, I know Best Coast is playing.
Mm.
I really like them.
I really, really dig them.
Yeah, there's a whole shitload of good bands. So there you go. I'm really...
A veritable shitload?
I am pro Life is Beautiful. I think they've done this whole festival thing right. And you know what?
They've had good acts, good headline acts.
They have, except for Kanye West last year. That guy sucks. I know he's got an audience, but he's a fucking piece of shit.
I think his music is shitty,
and I think he's a piece of shit.
I need to listen to his music because
don't waste your time. It's shitty. You've seen him on enough award shows. Those songs suck.
He seems like an asshole. Oh, but
he seems like.
I wonder. I don't know. I've heard that he is more of an artist musically, but then his assholishness gets in the way.
Fuck that guy. I have no respect for that guy. He's an ass clown.
I don't care for his wife. I'm just going to say that.
I don't care for any of them. Let's move along. Life is Beautiful anyway.
I feel like that was a calculated move, and I have a feeling that someday when it's not working out for them fame-wise, it's just going to fucking implode.
Yeah, good for them. All right, let's talk about Cosmopolitan.
All right. One of our favorite. I like talking about Cosmopolitan.
It's one of our favorite casinos and hotels, more than the casino itself, the hotel, and its bars and restaurants and whatnot. And that's where this story comes in. Las Vegas Sun, Johnny Katz, had a report on a speech given by an executive from Blackstone, which is the new owner of Cosmopolitan. And there were some plans for Cosmo that were revealed. Nothing all that groundbreaking. Some of them had been reported before. For example, the top four floors of, I believe, the East Tower are finally being finished off. They have not been used since Cosmo opened, but they're putting in, I believe, like some high roller suites and stuff. They're planning to add, this is the news that I had not heard before and that sparked my interest, they're planning to add another lobby bar.
And because it's a bar, you perked up at that, right?
Well, that too. Now, Vesper is currently their lobby bar.
And which we love. We fucking love Vesper.
Great bar. It's a very non-traditional
lobby bar
for any hotel, just because it is a...
Mixology bar.
It is a mixology bar, and it takes a long time.
And they know their shit.
They do know their shit. It's one of the best mixology bars in the city, for sure. But as those bars go, the drinks are complex. There's a lot of muddling of fresh fruit. There's a lot of bitters. There's a lot of care and work, a lot of exact measuring of ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
These things take time. Therefore, when you order a drink there, it usually takes 5 minutes or so to get it. As a result, it may take someone else 5 minutes to even order their drink.
Because they're busy preparing your specialty drink, and they might just want a Bud Light or rum and Coke or whatever.
And that's the thing. A lot of people come up to that bar, and they just want something very basic, and then they get frustrated because they have to wait. The bartenders have acknowledged that. There have been bartenders that have said that. I remember one guy saying he was actually surprised that they were sticking with the concept because
they had so many customers wanting more simple things.
Yeah, yeah. So if they do put in, which sounds like they will, a more traditional lobby bar, that will certainly alleviate the pressure on Vesper for some of those drinks, and thus everybody's happy.
Right.
So I think this is a good thing. I don't know exactly where they're going to put this in. Vesper has that large lounge space. Maybe they're going to use some of that.
Yeah. I just don't want Vesper to go away.
No, it's not. From the sounds of it, it's not, because they said an additional lobby bar.
Yeah.
Not
replacement lobby.
They didn't even just say a new, they said an additional. So I think this is a good sign. I think Vesper will still be there. I think there will be a more traditional lobby bar as well, and everybody's happy. So hooray.
Mm-hmm.
And a new place for us to try when it opens.
Because we do enjoy our Cosmo bars.
We do.
Still haven't been to Bond yet.
No. I think I might have.
You might have played video poker there?
I played video poker there. I don't think I had anything to drink, though, when I did. So, yeah, we'll have to do that sometime. All right. So this next story, I see this is good news as well. It's involving the Cromwell.
I do love the Cromwell.
I do too. So this is a report from Eater. They took a break from publishing inane lists of things like 77 places to get a Bud Light on the Strip, and provided some actual useful information. So that's good. And that news is that at the Cromwell, where during the week, as we mentioned in our review of the Cromwell after our March trip, the pool deck is no longer just a day club. It's just their pool, mm-hmm. which is good for those of us who want to see the pool and hang out there but aren't into day clubs.
Exactly.
So Monday through Thursday, when it is Dre's Beach, or not Dre's Beach, it's just Cromwell Pool.
It's just the pool. Okay. Monday through Thursday, Dre's Beach at the Cromwell becomes Dre's Cafe.
Yes. Now, as part of the
sorry to steal
pool
your thunder,
scene, but it is Dre's Cafe. They're going to have food as well.
Yeah.
And
with a beautiful, beautiful environment to eat in.
That's the thing. It's a really nice space.
It's so lovely up there.
And my guess is that the food is probably done by Giada, since they're doing the food for everything else in that building.
Mm-hmm.
So room that's another
service and
yeah, and yeah. everything. So that's a really good sign.
Does Giada do it for Bound as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the bar at the back of the hotel casino, they have a limited breakfast menu.
Yep. So looking at the menu, they have a few breakfast selections, but really the majority of it is lunch options. And they've got pizza, appetizers, salads, sandwiches, generally in the $16 to $18 price range, which isn't outrageous.
Which for breakfast, for me, is a little expensive. For lunch, that's very reasonable.
Yeah. And the breakfast options are like three or four things. It's mm-hmm. mainly lunch stuff. I think this is a good idea. It's a good use of the space.
I agree.
I look forward to trying this.
I do too.
So this is definitely on the list for one of our upcoming trips. Apparently, so with the pool thing, I know when we were there, we could go up there for free because we were staying there.
Right.
And we just had to show our key. Apparently, yep. that's the case for staying at any Caesars property, according to this article, which may or may not be correct. And then locals as well can get up there at no charge. So if that is indeed true, that's a good thing. Now, if you're not staying at a Caesars property, I don't know if they will charge a fee or how that'll work, because you would think with a restaurant up there, they would...
It should be open access to everybody.
But that might not be the case.
That might not. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, food at the pool at the Cromwell during the week. Check it out. It's delicious and lovely, and I'm sure I haven't tried it, but I'm...
Just thinking about that just makes me feel...
We sat at the
such a beautiful view.
We sat at the little bar up there and had a couple very expensive cocktails and just like enjoyed the space.
I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So...
Yeah. And when it's not clubbing, it's non-oonsy, and it's just it's peaceful.
It's relaxing, peaceful, great view.
And it's in the middle of the strip, and so you've got this amazing view, and yep. highly, highly recommended.
Yep. Very quick note on another restaurant. The Monte Carlo Cafe, it has closed, apparently. They're now serving breakfast at the pub at Monte Carlo instead.
Do they still have the buffet there?
At Monte Carlo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They do.
We had that many, 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 many years ago.
Yep.
Like at least 15 years ago.
But this is their coffee shop. They're apparently planning on using it for like meeting space or something, which is kind of odd. But that's the deal. So if you want to have breakfast, go to the pub. You can probably get a very delicious Bloody Mary there.
If you want to have anything, go to the pub. It's great.
It is. Okay. So I know you have a lot to say about this next story.
Oh, shit. I mean... Oh, okay, I have to get my research out.
All right, the governor, we mentioned the governor earlier, and he signed, Governor Sandoval, signed into law a bill that's going to allow casinos to offer slot games that are skill-based, arcade-style games,
mm-hmm.
Not just luck-based slot machines that are currently available, according to the Review Journal.
Howard Stutz.
The Gaming Commission has to draft regulations still before the new games are implemented, so it's not going to happen tomorrow, but
right.
It's coming.
It's coming.
The goal behind all this is to attract younger gamblers. Yep. Everybody's recognizing that gambling isn't playing as big of a part in the economy as it used to, and they want to attract people who might be more the video game generation
mm-hmm.
than what they're currently getting, and thus, let's put some video game elements more so than what we currently have. There are elements of video games, but they're more like graphic and audio and stuff like that, and not so much the actual
video
playing
gaming
of the
part.
Game. Where you
Other than, remember they had those Pong slots a couple years ago?
Yeah, and those didn't last long, and there was a perception there that those were kind of maybe skill-based, but apparently
but
not.
But possibly not.
Well, apparently
and
not.
And I'll go into that.
It wouldn't have been legal.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's happening, and I know as part of your grad school work, you did mm-hmm. a lot of research and gathered a lot of information on all kinds of stuff related to slot machines and how they get people to play and stay longer and all that. Yep. So, expert on the subject, what are your thoughts on this topic?
All right. So the bill wants to use cutting edge technology, attract a younger demographic. The slot machine has an 88% payback, but it could jump to 98% if the player's proficient in the video game.
So that's an example. I mean, we're not...
For example,
we don't know that it's going to be an 98%. But.
And it would be part of the bonus round. It wouldn't be the actual game. It'd be like shooting down enemy airplanes or outracing other players in a road race. And this is, again, from the Howard Stutz article in the Review Journal.
Right.
And I'll be citing some sources throughout this.
Is this going to go on for a long time?
No, it won't. So
I don't like footnotes in my podcast. So if you could, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So this whole thing is tied to illusion of control.
Yes.
So previously, in bonus rounds, they would present themselves as skill based, such as a bowling ball that appears to be controlled by a joystick, but it's actually programmed. So when you hit that bonus round, it's programmed by the random number generator. So even though it looks like you could lift the bowling ball on the screen and aim it and roll it, it's predetermined.
The result is?
Yes.
So even though you had kind of control the bowling ball?
You look like you're controlling the bowling ball, but you're actually not.
Well, did you? My question is, because my perception was that you would have had, in this bowling ball thing, actually had control of the bowling ball, but it didn't really matter because whatever it hit.
Yeah.
The determined credits.
Yep.
Or the credits was predetermined, regardless of whether or not
you hit something or not. And it would be the same as, you know, you've got some bonus rounds where you select items on the screen.
Exactly.
And it shows like, oh, you got 110 credits, but you could have got 250 or you could have got 40.
But realistically.
But it's realistic, that's predetermined, and you couldn't have got that larger amount no matter how many times you picked it.
Right.
And
that's,
this is according to Natasha Dow-Scholl, who's done some...
Oh, she's great. I love her.
I actually love her. She's written a book on the psychology of gaming and how her book is called Addiction by Design.
Plus, there aren't nearly enough Natashas anymore.
And Borises.
You don't get a lot of Borises either.
Yeah. She's done extensive research on this and the psychology behind what makes people play for a long time.
Okay.
She's done a lot of research on that. And Kevin Harrigan is another person who's done a lot of research on this. And I used those people as sources in my paper.
Awesome.
But they give players a feeling that they control the outcome of the event.
Uh-huh.
So they give you a feeling like if you're picking items in a bonus round, they give you a feeling of control. Or if you're pretending to guide that bowling ball, it gives you a feeling of control. My question is, with these new skill-based elements,
yes,
is it predetermined or is it actually skill-based?
Skill-based. That's what they're legalizing.
Okay.
Yep.
But is there a top, like, is it going to top out? Like, you can only get so many points?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah. My question is if this is truly a skill-based thing, which it should be based on the law that they're passing, if it will... There was a time where people would look for machines that were in an advantageous position.
Right. Like certain bonus rounds, like let's talk about Buccaneer Gold.
Yeah, where I was addicted to all those machines.
Oh, I fucking love Buccaneer Gold.
Where you could find a machine that was in a certain condition and it meant...
If you had three or more daggers, you're playing the shit out of that machine.
Right. The bonus round is going to come up sooner because you were part way there and somebody left the machine in a condition where you're likely to get the bonus round sooner rather than later. So I'm wondering if that'll bring back, in a different manner, advantage play. And it's not necessarily going to be like, it's a slot machine, so it's still, even best case scenario, in the example you used, let's say you're perfect at the skill-based part of it, let's say 98%, you're still going to lose money over the long term.
Yep.
But again, if you're playing a lot of slot machines, are you going to look for ones that you are proficient at playing? People are going to be publishing online, I would imagine, or other things, strategies for some of these machines.
Because there was a book that came out when we first started gambling where it would show okay, if you play...
Breaking the Bank, I think it was called.
Yeah. If you play this slot machine, it has like X number of firecrackers, then you'll get the bonus after a certain time. And
yeah, they told you the strategies for playing it so that you are likely to get the bonus round quicker.
Quicker, like, yeah.
Again, it just helps stretch your money out.
Yeah.
Because eventually you're going to lose anyway. But I wonder if there will be... I would imagine that kind of thing will happen. Like mm-hmm. people say, hey, look, when you're playing this bonus game, here are the things you need to do to be better at it.
Yeah. Another thing with the whole illusion of control thing.
Yes.
So it's part of the addictive thing that Natasha Dauschul goes into, where if you feel that you can control your play, it's more addictive.
Sure.
And if you, there's a guy named Luke Clark that did some studies on this. If you can choose items yourself, mm-hmm. it gives you a feeling of more sense of control, whether it's adjusting the volume or selecting items in a bonus round. And there's another thing, and unfortunately I did not print the page, so I do not have the exact sources on this, and I apologize to them, but there's a feeling that if you practice something...
Yes.
Like if you're practicing how to shoot a basketball or practicing how to throw darts, mm-hmm. there's a skill component to that, and you can get better.
Yeah.
But for gambling... And this goes along with the bonus motherfucker syndrome that we've talked about several times on this podcast,
where right.
you get two bonus symbols and the third one screws you over and you don't get the bonus.
Yeah.
There's a perception in gambling that if you keep gambling, even though it's controlled by the random number generator, that you're going to get better at it, even though it's not skill-based.
Got it.
So I'm just wondering how this whole skill-based thing is going to cross over with the non-skill-based component of slot machines.
Interesting. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they roll this out and in what form it takes. I'm very curious about what the games look like and how hard the skill part is to master.
Yeah. Like, with the psychology thing, are they going to feel like if I keep practicing at this, I'm going to get better at it and I'm going to get a higher bonus?
I would imagine. It's skill-based, so yes. And in theory, then that's actually true.
Right.
I don't know.
Which in previous games, it wasn't.
Correct. It'll be something
I'm
different.
Hoping people do more research on this, even though I'm not in grad school anymore.
Gonna,
like, I'm kind of nerding out over this.
You're going to geek out over it.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Well, we will see, you know, once the games start to roll out, we'll see how it looks and what people mm-hmm. think of it and whether or not it takes off.
Yeah.
There's a chance that they might roll it out and people are just like, meh.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't
I prefer
appeal.
The fake illusion of control as opposed to the real
That may be the case.
Thing.
Depends on kind of...
I prefer the illusion of control as opposed to the real feeling of control. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Who knows.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a scoop on that. Mm-hmm. A couple more quick entertainment notes. There is a new show...
Hey, thanks for letting me geek out. It was fun.
No problem. Happy to do so. A new show is coming to Windows at Bally's, which is that upstairs showroom that mm-hmm. gets very little attention.
It's a very nice space. Yes. We've talked about this. We had... When it was the buffet, we ate up there.
Many, many years ago.
It's a very nice view, except now it's...
It used to be.
Now you've got some colored rooftops with mosaics and, like, you know, blue and pink.
Looking out at the flea market below.
Yes.
Of which still the overwhelming response is, it's not as bad as I thought it would be. That's what everybody seems to...
Which is a resounding meh.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the new show is opening June 5th. It's the group Mosaic, or as it's... I hate when... It's spelled M-O-5-A-I-C.
Mo-5-A-I-C?
Yeah, Mo-5-A-I-C. It's kind of like...
It's like that group 5 from England that was a... Like
a boy
group.
How about 9 Steakhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the second
9-9? Nine.
Yeah.
5-5?
Ugh.
Yeah. Baby, anyway, when the lights go out.
Mosaic is an a cappella group. They've played in Vegas before.
I hope Mosaic is doing a 5 cover.
I doubt it.
Damn.
If you're into a cappella groups, there's one in Vegas now that you can go see if you want. Tickets are ridiculously priced. This is just stupid. The show is Thursday through Monday at 9:30. Tickets are $125 and $142, and there's no way anybody's going to pay full price for this.
No.
So expect to pay half price of the ticket. Ticks for tonight booth, and they'll be heavily discounted elsewhere.
Maybe if it was like Pentatonix, who I'm not into, but Ooh. They're at least known. Pentatonix, they're an a cappella thing.
Mosaic is actually fairly well known too, but
are they?
Yeah, I think they won a TV competition or something.
Okay.
But
I didn't know. I've been living in a hovel.
$125 for a Windows at Bally's show. Nobody has ever paid that.
No.
There's no way. Because the other shows in that room are like the parody of 50 Shades of Grey. And some other bullshit that'll last 6 months. They have a they're playing through at least December 7th, so it's a 6 month contract. And I suppose if it's successful, they'll stick around longer. But that's the scoop. If you're into acapella music, you've got an option in Vegas now. One other show that I'm really interested in, not necessarily, I don't know if I'm interested in seeing it. I'm intrigued by the concept.
Okay.
It was just announced a couple days ago. It's a show called For the Record. Is it Boz? Is that how his name is pronounced?
I have no freaking idea.
Baz or Boz? I think it's Baz.
Isn't Baz short for Barry?
I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, this show, For the Record, Baz, comes to
Light. I'm
going to
call it Barry.
Which is the club at Mandalay Bay. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a little bit like Vegas Nocturne and Rose Rabbit Lie in that it crosses the line between show, nightclub, and concert, according to the description in Billboard magazine, which broke this whole story. So the show is a tribute to the director, Baz Luhrmann.
Mm-hmm.
And it incorporates aspects of some of his movies, including Moulin Rouge, Great Gatsby, and Romeo and Juliet.
Do you have opinions on these movies?
The only one of those I've seen is Romeo and Juliet.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did too. So it's got like aspects of those movies. Cirque du Soleil is a partner, so there'll be weird like circusy shit.
And it'll be super visual.
Obviously with Cirque, yeah.
Not only Cirque, but the movies.
That's true. Those are big spectacle movies.
Yeah.
And I think the music from those movies is what plays a key part in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a concert.
Yeah. We have the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Oh, fantastic. I'll listen to it as soon
Garbage
as we're done.
Has a song on it, motherfucker.
Oh, I do love Garbage.
Oh, God, I do too. Shirley has pink hair. Oh, my God, she's my... Oh, spirit animal.
So
anyway.
Much like Vegas Nocturne, it's really hard to... Like, there's no super great explanation of what the show is other than it combines aspects of these things. It's kind of an interactive thing. It's in the nightclub. It's earlier in the evening than the nightclubby stuff. So
there won't be oonts interfering with your viewing.
It's an 8 p.m. show Wednesday through Monday, opening June 19th. Tickets are $55. It previously played in L.A., so maybe there's some reviews of that that'll shed more light on exactly what this is. But I'm intrigued because it's a non-traditional show, much the way that Vegas Nocturne was. And Vegas Nocturne didn't do well, and I attribute a lot of that to the fact you couldn't really explain very clearly what it was.
Mm-hmm. Except that it was cool.
It was really cool. There was a lot of stuff going on. It was kind of a variety show. There were different shows depending on what time you went for that one. But Vegas Nocturne did not succeed. It closed.
No.
Now another...
I mean, yeah, it did. And no, it did not succeed.
Another non-traditional show...
I've had drinks.
...of a different vein is Beecher's Madhouse, which seems to be doing quite well because it's been around a long time. Yep. It left and came back.
Right. I feel that there's some name recognition behind that.
Behind Jeff Beecher?
Yeah.
Because he's been around a long time?
Yeah.
I think with...
And you have a little bit more of an idea of what to expect.
Well, with that, I always hear it's just like, oh, there's a ton of stuff going around on all around you. There's like little people, and there's guys on stilts, and there's people doing weird stunts. And so I guess I kind of get it, but...
Maybe it just has more of a reputation. I don't know.
I don't know.
And we were talking about
marketing
this at dinner.
Plays a big part in it, too. I don't think the Cosmo did a great job of marketing Vegas
Nocturne. Did not. And you were saying, oh, well, Vegas Nocturne is associated with Spiegelworld, which produces absinthe, which is very popular. But not everybody's going to know that.
Yeah.
And I think people would be more familiar with Jeff Beecher's name than they would Spiegelworld.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I'm very curious to see if this, as another non-traditional show, will work, will pan out. I like that people are trying different things that are not just, here's us up on stage performing.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not always a fan of those because I don't like the audience interaction kind of shit
Jesus
too
God,
much.
No.
But
you will never be first row at Absinthe.
No. Well, and we'll eventually maybe go to Absinthe, but no, we'll be sitting in the back because I don't want to be called up on stage.
Nope.
Not my gig. But
you were part of Vegas Nocturne.
I was.
Inadvertently.
I was. And that was fine. But it was for a brief moment. I didn't have to do anything other than just sit there and smile.
Yep.
So I'm very curious. I like the non-traditional aspect of this, but I don't know if it's an odd thing to have this movie or this show based on a director's work. And it's interesting.
I'm curious about it. If anybody goes, I'd love to know what you see.
Yeah. Or if somebody saw it in LA even, I'd like to know that. I'm going to keep an eye on this one because I don't know. I want to see what they do with it and if they make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Always interesting things going on.
Yes.
One of many cool things about Vegas and the show aspect of the city is that different shit gets a shot there. You know, even the fact that, you know, like Duck Dynasty, Duck Commander.
The musical.
It's such a freaking bizarre idea, but where else is somebody going to get a shot at actually trying that?
Hmm.
So we'll see how this does.
Maybe they should have gotten a shot somewhere else, but it happened in Vegas.
Yep. All right. So with that, let's talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. This weekend, of course, holiday weekend here in the U.S., it marks the unofficial start to summer. This whole...
What?
No, we need to just fucking change our seasons.
Yeah, we do.
Forget the fucking lunar cycles.
And yeah, fuck all you assholes who are like, March 21st is the official start of spring. No, it's not. We still got snow on the ground, motherfuckers. Fuck you.
So this is it.
December 21st. It's the beginning of winter. No, it's not. We've had winter for two damn months. Eat my butt.
There you go.
This whole meteorological spring, summer, fall, winter.
Yeah.
There, how many actual states have that? Because there are states who have summer for 6 months. Whatever.
Right.
Summer Lucky bastards.
Summer is Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's what it is.
They're the two bookends. Exactly. Memorial Day and Labor Day.
So this is the beginning of summer. Unofficially, but officially in my house. And because it is the beginning of summer, it's time for summer vacations. You should go somewhere great this summer. Go somewhere different. Go somewhere cool. Let Viator help you make it an awesome vacation. You might be surprised. Now, you think of something like Viator, where they specialize in helping you book tours and attractions and stuff. You're going to think of theme parks and places like Vegas. But you know what? They also have all kinds of cool options in national parks. And you wouldn't necessarily think of that as the first thing. That like a national park thing would be something you get through Viator. Yellowstone National Park, which is really awesome. Several self-guided tours are available. They've got half and full day rafting trips. Yosemite National Park, they've got guided hikes, yoga hikes, camping adventures.
Which one have you been to? Was it Yellowstone or
no? Yeah, I was Yellowstone.
Okay.
They've got private tours. You can take photography lessons at Yosemite. What better place to learn how to take pictures than a place like that where you're going to have just amazing things to capture?
Are you excited about the yoga hikes?
I am all about the yoga hikes. Sign me up. You do yoga.
I do. That.
I would not be able to do a
yoga hike. I like my yoga confined to specific situations.
Yeah, is that like, okay, we're going to walk half a mile and then we're going to do some yoga?
Then we're going to do Warrior 2 at this next landmark.
I don't know what that means. Other national parks.
I'll demonstrate later.
Okay.
Awesome. Just don't ask me to do Warrior 3 because I'll fall over.
All right. Other national parks include Everglades, Grand Teton, Grand Canyon, and Denali. There are all kinds of cool options at those places.
Yep.
You can check them all out at Viator.com. You can download their iOS and Android apps. And, of course, if you love us, you'll click through to Viator.com from 500bymidnight.com, and we get bonus points.
Yay.
If you're going to book something. So check that out.
Question.
Yes?
The man who says, go somewhere different as we're looking at Vegas trips for the summer.
Yeah, but I'm not. Are you calling me a hypocrite again?
No, I'm just asking.
I've been telling you I want to go back to Yellowstone with you because that was a solo thing. I think
I would like to go to Yellowstone. Impressed. I would, indeed.
It's not my fault that you're tied down to a day job.
It kind of is.
Okay, touche. It's true. Health insurance and all. All right. Thanks, Viator. We love you.
Yes, we do.
This week's Facebook group discussion of the week is a May 19th post from John. John posted a discussion on work trips. And
cool.
People have been discussing the pros and cons of work trips. Of course, the pros are, hey, free trip to Vegas on the employer's dime. Cons are work is interfering.
You have to actually be somewhere at a certain time.
Yeah, that and work is ruining my happy place.
Yes.
So
I can't gamble and drink the way I want to.
Yeah, there are...
you know this.
I do know this.
From previous experience.
There are definitely pros and cons to both, and I have strong feelings about both. And I've not shared them, but I have some thoughts on it in an upcoming book that you'll be able to read soon.
I missed this because I've been taking a little break from the Facebook group.
Yep. Well...
But I will look for this thread soon.
I will post a link in our show notes, and you can go directly to this and skip over all the riffraff.
I will do that.
Which there was plenty this week. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to go on.
We do enjoy the Facebook group. We don't want to discourage anyone from posting.
We want to discourage some people from posting. But not
most of it. It's a valuable source of information.
It is.
And it's awesome when somebody posts a question and there are responses like, within a half hour.
To the actual question.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's move on. We've got a bunch of phone calls to get to. During the phone call segment, I'm going to do a little periscoping, which will feature one of our dogs and both of us.
All right.
So some people might see this. Oh, we've got a sleepy guy.
Yay.
All right.
We're going to capture him because it's a rare moment.
We'll do that in a minute. Here is our first caller of the week.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Andy from Harper's Ferry. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller. Thanks for a terrific show. I really liked the series on all the casinos and hotels and agreed with virtually everything you said, and I became a regular listener. Anyhow, back from a recent four-day trip, I have some mini reports. I'll start with the good stuff. First, I stayed at Cosmo, and my best friend stayed at Aria. We went to the Bordeaux Brasserie, and for happy hour, it was absolutely awesome. We had a terrific server, a bartender named Eric, and with the dogs in the background. Anyhow, Eric was a great server, very friendly from Toronto. He made gimlets. That was the special of the night. I wouldn't normally have a gimlet, but it was great. Also, terrific appetizers, reasonably priced. I think there was an escargot and a duck, something else. Just awesome. Terrific. After that, we went for dinner at Blossom at the Aria, which is not really a happening place, but really kind of elegant. All Asian folks in there. Great food. We had some appetizers, including a lettuce wrap and some mushroom stuff, and a main dish of a Peking duck. Just delicious. One of the best Chinese meals I've ever had.
That sounds delicious.
Also, some other places we went to, which were not so good. I'll say that for another call-in. One quick comment. Cosmo is really kind of a beautiful room, upscale. I had a suite with a terrace, a very happening kind of suite. My buddy had a suite over at the Aria. A little bit more tasteful, but not quite as practical. For example, at the Cosmo, I had a microwave and a freezer, which could be used, and those were terrific. Neil, thanks. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thanks for your call. We do appreciate it. I'm periscoping right now.
I think it was a bad idea to periscope during the phone calls because you can't. Because part of periscope is to actually like talk during the whole thing.
I know. People are like, "Why are you so quiet?" It's because we were listening to a phone call.
Yeah.
So
way to go.
Would you like to say hello?
I understand that you. Hello, everybody. I understand what you were trying to do, but at the same time, it's like, oh, people are going to be asking you what the hell you're doing.
I know. I was just giving them a flavor for our podcasting environment here.
And I'm showing everybody my drink that's being slowly depleted.
I'm flipping back and forth between the two of us on Periscope. Anyway, thanks, Andy, for your call. We do appreciate it. So,
good information on restaurants.
So, yeah, I guess I'll stop the Periscope thing because
it's going to distract like the chat did time.
I know. People are bitching on here already. It is just like the chat. It is crazy. Apparently, when I flip from camera to camera, it stops the broadcast, somebody said.
Ooh.
So I'm not supposed to do that.
Okay.
Well, I just did it again, didn't I?
W2G. I don't know.
Why the hell do they have that as an option? Stupid fuckers. All right. Well, say goodbye to our Periscopers. We're going to continue listening to calls.
Bye, Periscopers. Thank you.
Yep. New podcast coming soon. Bye, guys. Okay.
I have to refill my beverage.
Let's
should we pause?
Yeah, we can pause. Next caller, please.
Tim. Tom Meany from Buda, Texas.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, we love that guy.
Playing in my underwear in a king size bed at the California Hotel and Casino.
All right.
Off of Fremont in downtown Las Vegas. The Main Street station sign is bleeding into my window, blinking red and white, almost like an old movie.
Stylish.
And I'm pleasantly surprised with this room. I was able to get two rooms for $50 each on a Saturday night, which is astounding to me. I'm not sure why it's so cheap, but the room is clean. There's a flat screen TV. And the bathroom is not in shambles. I've probably stayed in 15 hotels over the years out here, and this one is definitely not the worst. But we are on our way to the Grand Canyon and needed a place to sleep for 8 hours until we travel out there for a night and then come back and stay at the D for 3 days. And I will send a report then. I miss you. and I love you.
We miss you and we love you as well.
Yes.
We ran into Tom during one of our trips. Oh, it's been quite a while, a couple of years ago.
Golden Nugget.
Lovely to see him. He's a good dude, and happy to hear that he was able to make a triumphant return to Las Vegas with his dad, and looks like he had a good time. We'll hear from him a little bit later in the show as well, but yeah, the Cal is a decent place, and you get some good rates at some of those downtown hotels that we don't necessarily talk about a lot, so that's fantastic.
We gambled at the Cal last time we were in town and enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad casino.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something a little old school about it. Mm-hmm. It's very unassuming.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But also very comfortable.
And they've got some good video poker, too. All righty. Next up.
Hey, Michelle, it's John and Ada from Western Pennsylvania calling with a trip report from our trip the 14th through the 19th of May. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was the Riviera sale. We went to the liquidation sale on Monday after they had stopped charging admission. There's no charge to get in and not a long wait either. Once we got inside, we discovered there wasn't a lot of stuff left that had the Riviera name or logo on it. But at the same time, you could wander extensively through the property. It's several rooms set up with specific items. There was a boutique room that was small items, and then a commercial room that had tables, banquet furniture, rolling bars, a variety of items. We wandered through the casino, which had already been stripped of all of its slot machines and almost all of its gambling tables. I managed to wander back into the cage because the door was tied open, but was later told by an employee that we weren't supposed to be back there. He got shooed out. We also made our way backstage at all of the showrooms to a point where there was more than one time where we were concerned that we had managed to get ourselves lost in the bowels of the Riviera and would be ourselves haunting it as others allegedly have. The other thing that you could do, and this was probably the main item that they had left to sell, was the furniture in the Monaco and the Monte Carlo towers. You could go up in both towers all the way to the top. What was most interesting was the penthouse level of the Monaco Tower, which had, I don't know if they were penthouses or actually timeshares that were two levels, and then the Monte Carlo Towers. The Monte Carlo Tower is interesting because about the top five floors all have balconies, so you could go up and access and get out on those balconies, and there were great views looking south on the strip, except for the fact that a couple of buildings got in the way. And on the other side, you could, if you went out, you could see just how unfinished the Fontainebleau really was. The other thing from the Monte Carlo Tower that you could see was over to Resorts World, where there seemed to be perhaps the beginning of signs of life. But I would say this is certainly worth a trip if you're in town and it's still going on. To give you an extent of a sense of how extensive this sale will be, two European tourists were looking for something small to buy, and they didn't want to buy one of the bronze R's from the doors. Those are selling for $350 a piece. So they asked about the R's that appear in various places in the carpet, to which the employee of the liquidation company said, "Oh no, you're here entirely too early for that," which is interesting because it does suggest at some point in this sale, you'll be able to go in and cut out chunks of carpet and buy them. So for folks who are going to be in Vegas in the next few weeks, probably, the Riviera sale is worth a visit if for no other reason to wander aimlessly through parts of the casino and the property that you might never otherwise see. Thanks for all you do and have a great day.
That's pretty cool to be able to see that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would, as I mentioned before, I like being in public spaces when they are closed. Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting. It's very a weird thing. So
they have a different vibe.
Yeah.
Being empty.
So to see Riv now would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Glad you got a chance to check that out. And we'll hear a little bit more from him later on. In the meantime, let's move on to Jake.
Jim Hundy and Michelle, this is fun Jake from Colorado. A little drunk here in Vegas at Mandalay Bay. Just got out of the Foundation Room.
That place fucking rocks.
Yeah, it does.
Went to Giada for dinner. Less than impressed tonight. Much better about 6 months ago. Just in town today. We'll maybe give you some updates later. Maybe not. We'll see. Thanks for the great podcast. Love you both. Love you all.
Let's jump right into it. Let's get his follow-up call on Giada.
All right.
Finchelle, it's Jake Hundy again. The reason I didn't like Giada so much is because the iced tea they used to do was a whole service beside your table. This time they just brought me a glass of fucking iced tea. It wasn't special at all. Nothing great about it. Just had a great experience at Excalibur, your alma mater, as we might say. Had a bartender named Michael, and he was the best, friendliest bartender I've ever seen. Like, hooking me up with drinks, congratulating me on wins, and just overall a pleasure. And again, drunk Jake, fun Jake from Colorado. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for your calls. We appreciate it. You know, a good employee, a good bartender, a good cocktail waitress, a good casino floor person who gives you a little bit of attention and can mean all the difference between just a mediocre experience in a casino and like a really fun, memorable time.
Yes.
Just that little bit of extra attention.
That's why we're so fucking fond of booking stage.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
We haven't been there in a while, but the people that used to work there.
That's what made it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of places like that in Vegas that the reason you return a lot of times is like, oh, I had a really good time there. And part of the reason I had a good time is because I got really good service from really friendly people.
They wanted me to win.
Even Downtown Grand, the blackjack dealer that we had.
She was great.
She was really fun. And you remember that stuff. And you go back and you look for those same people. So, absolutely. That's really cool. You had a great bartender at Excalibur.
Yep. We should revisit Book and Stage. I know there are a couple people who used to work there who are still there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still a really good place. Okay, next up.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Michelle calling from Detroit. I just got back from my five-night stay. We stayed again at the Signature at MGM. I reported on it last year. The only thing different is that, as you may know, that there's a kitchen that comes with the unit, and usually there's kitchenware in there, but this time I had to request it. They said apparently for sanitary purposes, they want somebody to deliver it. So if you're going to stay there, be sure to request it, and we'll bring it up to you in fine fashion with white gloves and the whole routine. So it was quite nice.
I like having a kitchen in my room because first thing I do whenever I get to Vegas, if I do have a kitchen, is prepare my signature pot roast.
Two problems that I wanted to point out with my Vegas, if you haven't pointed them out already. The first is to turn in those points as early as possible within that 90-day window. I encouraged my husband to earn enough points so that we could use it for a love ticket, and he did, but he didn't redeem them in time. So by the time I told him to redeem it, I asked him if he redeemed it, and he said no. By the time we looked back to redeem it, it was already sold out. So I got my ticket for free, but then we had to buy him his ticket. So that was kind of a bummer. Then the second thing that I've never run into before was the issue with free play. So because you can get four per visit, my thought was once we ran out of, I used the two that I was looking for, I thought, oh, well, this is going to be easy. I'll just use the rest in free play. Usually when you're looking at the rewards, there's a little outline of a key or whatever in the bottom left-hand corner to tell you that a stay at an MGM resort is required for you to turn the reward in. Then what I found out was those little keys were not on all the free play. So I'm ordering free play at Bellagio and Monte Carlo. And it turns out that as I was printing out the award information, it said that a 2-3 night stay is mandatory at that specific resort. So I was able to redeem free play for MGM, but unfortunately I wasn't able to redeem the free play for Bellagio or Monte Carlo. However, as soon as I called the 800 number, they were quite nice. I told them I read the fine print, and they were pretty cool with that. And so they went ahead and they credited my account back. So that was.
I did notice.
That's a new thing because previously when we went, I was like, oh, $25 at MGM Grand, sign me up. And then I printed it out and did it, and it did not require a stay there. And now I would say most, if not all, the free play require.
But the newest thing is that they do have, and she mentioned it's not consistent, but they do have on a lot of their things now a little icon so you know that it requires a stay.
Oh, good.
So you don't even bother to click through. But the problem is, like she said, not everything. They haven't been consistent with it yet. So they need to get their shit together. It's kind of annoying.
But they're really tightening up on the stuff. Not like they're charging more for rewards. And then the stuff that they do have, there are all these restrictions. Yeah. So,
which we knew was going to happen when they started this up. I think
we enjoyed it while it lasted. I mean, we got a 2-night stay at Hotel 32, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I remember talking about this very early on, and I said, take advantage of it now, because as always happens with these things, they tighten them up a little at a time until
it's just useless.
Not the deal it used to be. So that has been happening for quite a while now.
It was a really good experience. Then I had a long issue in my own head, a long fight in my own head about valet. At the Signature, it is an automatic valet. I imagine self-parking is associated with MGM, so it's like long gone. So what we decided to do, as I was looking up and reading about valet, do you tip before, do you tip after? That was my biggest dilemma. I know you tip after, but, you know, what are the merits in tipping before? So I always put aside tip money. This time I put aside tip money to tip before and after. So I tipped $3 on the drop-off and $5 on the pickup. Oh, my God, we got such great service. Anytime they were late, they apologized for being late. They ran like crazy. They asked if we wanted water. They asked if we wanted directions. It was really kind of a neat experience. So it sort of led me into this idea that perhaps we should be tipping before and after. The first night we ate at Bazaar Meat, that was really weird. I think they tried too hard. My husband and I are very experimental eaters. So I was pretty excited. And we did this restaurant upon my recommendation. I saw it was 2014's Restaurant of the Year.
I like the description of being an experimental eater, because in my mind, that's not like we'll try all kinds of different food. In mine, it's like tonight's meal will be consumed only using straws. That would be experimental, wouldn't it?
It would indeed.
So I was pretty excited to order some of the things off the menu, and it's a perpetually serving restaurant. So they don't wait for everything to be done and bring it out at one time. It's perpetually coming. So it turns out that we ordered too much. And so by the last entree that arrived, we were just stuffed. And it was just a little too eccentric. It just seemed to try too hard. And of course, the rest of SLS dead, didn't have to wait for our valet, nothing. But I got to say that was the coolest entrance I've ever seen with the change in the colors. That night, we also decided to go to downtown. And the first time I was to downtown, I was disappointed with it. This time I thought, you know, keep an open mind. You know what to experience now. And my husband and I went downtown. It was his first time downtown, and he was hesitant to go, and he had a blast. Kept an open mind, just relaxed, you know, watched some street performers, okay, whatever. But it was just sort of fun to stand around and people watch and watch people go down the zip line. We had a really good time. And then, of course, I was keeping the eagle eye open for Pizza Rock. Where's Pizza Rock? We have to go see Pizza Rock. Tim and Michelle, Pizza Rock, Pizza Rock, Pizza Rock. So the sheep that I am saw it and herded myself over to Pizza Rock. We were so stuffed from dinner, but we managed to cram down a slice of their pepperoni pizza. I was impressed with how hot it was. Hot, crispy, pretty good stuff. So we were pretty impressed with it. So that was all good. We also made a Bouchon. That was my husband's request. What a wonderful meal. Probably the best meal we had the entire time we were there. The server made the whole meal because not only was he able to describe, obviously, the ingredients and whatnot, but how the ingredients interact with other things, you know, how tastes would turn out. So it was absolutely wonderful. But what's weird is it's so hard to find. At one time, we're standing in the Venetian, we're looking for this restaurant, and they have a signs that are nearly next to each other pointing in different directions for Bouchon. So it'd be nice if it was just a little easier to see. The other comment that I have about the casinos, and I'm starting to think that this is a Caesars property issue, but, and I'll start off with Caesars. I just find these properties incredibly depressing, and I don't know what it is. I think, are we done with the fake ceilings and the fake skies and whatever? I feel like every time I go into Caesars that I'm gambling in a basement, and it depresses the hell out of me. And I get it. I feel like we're past this ugly carpeting and no clocks on the walls kinds of things, because we all have cell phones and we all get the tricks. And don't worry, we'll spend enough money on gambling as is without these tricks. And yet it seems to be prevalent between Paris as well as even the Venetian and Caesars, all very depressing. And in the same time that we were at Caesars, we left Caesars and went into Aria. And what a completely different experience that was. It felt light. It felt airy. I dropped just as much money at Aria as I did at Caesars. But it was the overall styling of the place just felt so much younger and so much chipper. So I say enough of that old stuff and do away with the old stuff. And it's time to update Caesars because it's just awful. So anyways, I look forward to your podcast every week. As I say, I savor it every week like a fine glass of wine. You guys do a wonderful job. Thanks for all of your work, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She had a lot of good things to say.
I'm curious. So what she said at the end about casino design, yeah. I am curious to see if design changes.
It has. It has. I mean,
yeah, because she did mention, you know, going from Caesars to Aria. Totally different experience.
Well, look, yeah, and going along with that, I would say Aria, Cosmopolitan, Wynn and Encore, they're a lot more like you're getting a lot more natural light. They're a lot brighter than they used to be.
They're
different.
Not doing
it's changing.
The fake sky and let's make it crazy, confusing and
yeah. So I think it's changing.
Yeah,
but the older places. I don't know. You can do certain things, I suppose, to change that. But
but I'm curious how it'll continue
Caesars
to evolve.
Won't.
Oh no, because they don't maintain their shit.
Right.
Which has been my refrain for several years now.
It has indeed. Yeah. It'll be interesting now to see what the next generation, though, holds with some of these new places on the North End opening. Well, I mean, SLS, again, not a lot of natural light. So even though they
industrial
were industrial
chic.
Well, there's that whole industrial chic, that whole thing, which is pretty much them in downtown Grand. That's purely
we're too fucking cheap to put a ceiling in.
Yeah, that was purely budgetary. You can call it what you want, but it's saving money. So, but I do like that there's natural light now, and they're not trying to
be all like we're hiding our clocks because everyone has a cell phone on them and they could just I mean, people had watches previously too, but I don't know.
Yeah, you can still be in those places and lose track of time. It's Alrighty. Thanks for that call. Great stuff. And we're like a fine glass of wine. What do you think of that? I would have guessed like we're like a half bottle of $2 Chuck. That's what I would have thought we were like. But
hey, $2 Chuck. Well, it's $3 Chuck.
Is it three? I thought it was
it
two.
It is three.
Oh, fucking inflation.
It used to be $2 Chuck, but now it's three.
Oh, well, fuck that.
It depends on the kind you get. I hope we're like the Shiraz because that's pretty good shit.
That means nothing to me. I'm like a fine lemonade Rita.
Oh, can we talk about those for a second?
On other podcast, we can.
Okay.
Let's hold it for there.
We're just going to say right now, they're good.
Yes. That's our teaser. We're trying to get everybody over I don't know why. I don't care if anybody listens to the other one.
The other one's a train wreck.
I'm trying to... This one's not.
No.
All right. Next caller.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. It's Uda and John from Western Pennsylvania.
Hello again. Hello.
I wanted to talk to you all about Social Hour during our recent trip to Vegas. Social Hours advertised is taking place Monday through Thursday from 5:30 to 7 at Cosmopolitan. So we figured we would check it out. Our first stop was Rose Rabbit Lie, and we had delicious drinks in the study. We also had some appetizers. We had fingerling potato poutine with a short rib gravy, and John enjoyed some oysters. Then we wandered to DOCG, where I had an awesome drink. It was called the Roman Goddess, and it is made with Saint Germain, Hendrix, lemon, mint, and bitters. So mostly alcohol and very few mixers, if you can call the lemon juice that. We noticed that one or two restaurants have different days for their social hour and may have their social hour extend past 7 p.m. So just a note, if people want to check that out and
yes, I do.
Hit it after 7 o'clock. We also went to Bardo Brasserie, and their happy hour is every day from 5 to 7. And we enjoyed pommes frites. We enjoyed deconstructed mac and cheese, which was squares of macaroni cooked with a cheese sauce underneath them. It was pretty good. Then we also had bone marrow and a cheese and onion tart of some sort. The food was good. The drinks were great. And we really had a good time. The menus are on the website, but we found that at each of these places, we actually had to ask for their social hour or happy hour menu. Thanks for everything you do, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I was hoping
thank you.
I was hoping that thank you. I was hoping the deconstructed macaroni and cheese was like a box of uncooked cream ads, half a package of Velveeta, and like a shot glass of milk.
Nice.
I do like the concept of the social hour.
Yeah.
In that having all of your restaurants have happy hour at the same time.
Yeah. So no matter where you go, you know it's going to be happy hour.
It just
and
makes
I want to
really
try
easy.
More restaurants at Cosmo.
Yeah.
During that time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cool idea. Point. I think other properties should follow suit and try to coordinate that a little bit better so that you know, hey, if I go here during these times, if I can't get into this place that I like, I know that every other restaurant is going to be an option too.
Yep. Yep, I like that
it's
idea.
It's a good thing.
And we did talk about Bardo after our March trip.
Yep.
We really liked it.
Yep.
The portions are pretty small, but they're also very reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a, hey, we're going to have some snacks.
Yeah, we've been getting, place. And that's at Aria, we've been getting consistently
good reviews.
Solid reviews of Bardo. So that's fantastic. I'm glad people are enjoying it.
They had
it.
Good service, good food, good drinks. I'm intrigued by that drink she had.
Yeah.
I'm not a gin person, although Hendrix is pretty good gin.
It is.
Yeah.
On a good day, you can be convinced to have a little bit of gin.
Yes.
Maybe.
I can't do the London Dry, but Hendrix is not London Dry.
No. All right. Next.
You caller. Wouldn't like Hendrix because it's cucumbery.
Yeah, I don't like cucumber. I've had a couple drinks that have been made with cucumbers where if they're made right, if the drink is made right and the cucumber is very, very subtle, I can handle it. But yeah. Okay. Next caller.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Robin from Connecticut. Thanks for the support and inspiration.
You are welcome.
And I just thought I'd call in. My son was lucky enough to go to Las Vegas over Mother's Day weekend.
Lucky jerk.
And and so I have to, until August, live through him with his Las Vegas-y experience. He's a big fan of Mariah Carey, so he wanted to be sure he saw some of her first performances. And so I'm just going to read you. I asked if he could just, you know, review it a little bit. For
awesome.
You, and so I'm just going to read you what he sent me.
We'll take a second-hand report.
He saw the third show at Caesars.
Because the fourth one was canceled, right?
Uh-huh.
Not the third show at Caesars, but you know what I mean. Anyways, he gives her a solid B+, which I'm really surprised about because he's a big fan. But it says here that she doesn't seem very comfortable on stage.
Neither do I.
She opened the show with Vision of Love on a three-step platform, which propelled her to the front of the stage. He says Mariah doesn't walk when she doesn't have to, so
she has a scooter.
She re-enters the stage with
around.
A pink cat convertible for Dream Lover on a jet ski for the song Honey and on a bed for Touch My Body. And one of the more touching moments of the night, he says, she sang a sixth number, one hit, Make It Happen, with original co-star and current backup singer Trey Lorenz. And it featured, I guess, a video of Michael Jackson in the background. On her ballads, she delivered mostly live performances, assisted with some occasional backing tracks, opting for lower register instead of some of her higher, well-known riffs. As for the upbeat songs like Emotions, Dream Lover, Heartbreaker, those can be summed up, he says, by saying, cue the track. The vocals were too on spot and too strong and too true. But, you know, we all figure, at least, you know, those of us who listen to 500, that we kind of expect, you know, the lip syncing by now. So that's not too surprising.
That's what we're going to do at VIMP, by the way, is lip sync our show.
Lip sync our whole podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. She did Visions of Love on a talk show, I don't remember, one of the late night shows, maybe Kimmel or
that
something.
That is a high song.
She dropped it down.
Yeah.
She dropped, which I don't blame her for. She dropped it down. She sounded all right. I mean, she wasn't horrible. It was.
Right.
It wasn't like 19-year-old Mariah Carey, but who among us does sound or look or do what we did when we were 19? Well, I don't forget it.
To her credit, her lip syncing was practically spot on. Stage was simple. Bands all dressed in white, playing white instruments on a white stage. Okay. The band was very on point, and one odd musical moment of the night was a very out-of-place overbearing drum solo to cover a costume change. There was a lot of drumming, cymbal crashing, drummer jumping, spinning, and seemed very out of place.
Has anyone ever enjoyed a drum solo during a concert?
What about
even when I've seen good
Tommy
drummers,
Lee during Motley Crue? It was more about the spectacle than the actual drumming.
Exactly. It's like, and that's,
it's like, oh, you turned upside down. That's,
I've seen
novel.
Some pretty good. Like I've seen Alex Van Halen. It's like, okay, yeah. Like 20-second drum solo is all I need. Don't need much beyond that. Pretty much any instrument, the long solo is.
What like, about the bass solo that Michael Anthony did though?
Yeah, but
that was cool.
Yeah, but you could shorten it a little bit.
Yeah. Guitar solos? What's your feeling on guitar solos?
Well, it depends who it is, but I've seen a lot of wankery when it comes to guitar solos because I used to see all those hair metal bands, mm-hmm. and they love doing, you know, their guitar solo. And usually they'd have multiple guitar players too, so they'd each have to get one. So I've sat through some pretty damn bad guitar solos too. So shorten that shit up. Nobody wants to see it. I know you're trying to give some of the guys in the band a few minutes to go, you know.
There are different ways to acknowledge the band. Yeah.
Yeah.
The audience was very much into it. But he says by design, Mariah performs all her number one hits chronologically, ending with Infinity. And while the rest of the show was solid, it led to somewhat an anticlimactic ending with the fairly unknown song Confetti at the closing curtain, no encore, no coming back out of her final bow. The curtain closed, the lights came on, and everybody left.
Huh.
So, that's basically what he thought. So thought I'd call that in, let people just get an idea of what the show was like. And not a Mariah fan myself. I think I might just see Britney before I see Mariah. But, you know, one lip sync to another, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. So hope this helps anybody who's thinking about seeing the show. And I'm waiting for Vimp, counting down days. So we'll see y'all later. Thanks for everything.
All right. Thank you for the report. And thank your son for the report as well. We do appreciate it.
I, too, would see Britney over Mariah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Easily.
Okay. Next up.
Guys, Brian the Thinker here. I just sent you an email with a link to the media access page on Heart Attack Grill's website with directions to view one of the videos. And I hate to be the, you know, here's what's wrong with this country, crotchety old guy, but here's what's wrong with this country. You've essentially got two attractive women involved in a biracial lesbian spanking in the middle of a restaurant. And I, as a fellow fat bastard myself, the fat bastards in the back don't even turn their head, don't even care. I mean, what the hell's wrong with this country? Yeah, anyway, that's about it. I actually do enjoy the Heart Attack Grill more for the attitude than the food. But the nurses are kind of cute, too. So anyway, have a good day. Thanks for the show. Talk to you later.
I have no idea
what he's talking about.
I haven't looked at the video yet. So there's apparently in the video, there's a couple women who are like spanking each other.
Okay.
And there's a dude in the background who's not even paying attention because he's so into his meal.
Huh.
So that's
what if from what I've heard about the food at the Heart Attack Grill, that's complete fiction. Because he's
the food.
Yeah, it's not good.
No. Okay, I'll watch the video.
All right,
I'll try to remember to post it on somewhere. I probably won't though. All right, next up, back to Andy.
Hey Tim and Michelle, this is Andy from Harper's Ferry again. Part two, which isn't so good. Wanted to report on a couple of places that were mediocre. Went to the buffets at both Cosmo and Aria, both $40. Both have lots of choices, but it's not exceptional. I mean, not like to die for. I've been to buffets in the past. I remember Wynn a couple of years ago was awesome. These places had nice choices, nice beef, nice crab legs, some decent vegetables, but just for $40, you expect greatness, and it wasn't great.
That's now Cosmo has been kind of a mixed bag of reviews.
Yeah.
Aria has been consistently mediocre for reviews.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, I expected it so much better and it wasn't that great. And they've gone through multiple remodels and all kinds of revamps and it's still, that's what people always say.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, some of the food isn't warm enough, yeah, and the variety isn't that great, and yeah.
Avoid it. Go somewhere else.
In fact, at the Aria, our hostess or waitress came by, never was to see him come again. Again, not something you expect at a top drawer place. Also wanted to mention China Poblano at Cosmo. Very good, but not consistent. Their 20-ingredient vegetable fried rice is truly great. Everything else is good or fair. So that's what I wanted to share. Love Vegas. Love your show. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Alrighty. Thank you for the reports. We appreciate it.
I do love China Poblano.
That has become...
That's a must for us.
It's become kind of a go-to for a lot of people. Ask, like, if you had to go to one casual restaurant, you know, like not super fancy, but just like, mm-hmm, one accessible restaurant. That's generally been the one lately I've been saying, because I always want to go there and I always enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love the tacos. I love the appetizers.
Everything's good. Okay, next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Scott from North Carolina. First-time caller. I've been listening to the podcast for several years now, and I appreciate all the things you guys do.
Thank you.
So this is my third attempt to record a voicemail, but I wanted to give you guys a quick update on my recent Vegas trip. I just went back to the great state of North Carolina last night. I was at Paris for 4 days with my wife. Quick observations. Of Paris, probably the last four times we've been to Vegas, I've been, I think about 20 times, we've stayed at Paris. Typically, we get a red room. Interesting on the red room, there's actually one of the ones attached to one of the pew rooms in the corner, and my wife's a smoker, so we got smoking floor. So to be a smoking room, it was in fairly good condition, facing the pool and the Bellagio. Food there at Paris was really good. One night we went to Gordon Ramsay steak, as always, very good. The only thing I did notice is that, there was some wear on stuff like placemats and menus, a little bit of wear, which I didn't expect. This is probably our fourth time going there. It was still very good. Mon ami Gabby had breakfast there a couple times. One morning, sitting outside, looking out the sidewalk, and it was kind of quiet, except for one timeshare guy, trying to sell whatever he was selling, right? And he would approach only married couples. So I saw one married couple, one guy fall back while his wife moved forward and walk by so they wouldn't get approached by the timeshare guy there in front of Mon ami Gabby. And also, this is actually the first time I ate at Yong King Street Noodle Shop. Pretty good. Dim sum cart, noodles comes quick, fast, inexpensive, and very good. So I definitely recommend the noodle shop there at Paris, the Yong King Street Noodle Shop, to anybody. Quick thoughts. I went over the Mirage one day to get a shirt, a Beatles shirt from the Beatles store there in Mirage. When I was walking through there, I was looking for a blackjack table, and I noticed that every blackjack table was 6 to 5. That was $25 and under. So it was really disconcerting, because I will be back in September at Mirage for a work event. And definitely wanted to find some 3-2 blackjack games. Also, there were very few 3-card poker games, and all the craps tables were $15 and above. And this is probably a 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. Gambling overall was pretty brutal. I couldn't hit anything at craps. I think I had one good session out of about 10. And 3-card poker was also brutal as well. Mainly played at Caesars Properties, because we were comp there at Paris for the 4 days. Bars, definitely hit -5 at Monte Carlo. Not very many people in there, and you basically can only stay there until you can finish your two drinks and chug them pretty fast. But the drinks we had were very good. They had a Fireball drink there that I really liked.
Ooh, Fireball.
After that, we went to Center Bar.
We should do that later.
New York. It was the first time I've been there. New York was really hopping compared to other properties. But did see a couple of interesting things that I haven't seen before in Vegas. I've never seen a fight before at any bar, but I saw a fight. It was really brutal. One older guy, big, you know, offensive lineman type, was beating this, you know, young kid. And then his brother tried to jump in, and he was beating him too. But it was all over pretty fast, and no security ever came. The guys who were, you know, the guy who was the aggressor, you know, quickly walked by and walked out real quickly. So that didn't see anybody from security approach him at all. Then also at Center Bar, which is a pretty fun play. There's like, you know, DJ there playing, you know, old hip hop, which was pretty cool. You know, hip hop from the 90s and 80s, which I thought was pretty cool. But I did see this 50-year-old guy, bald guy, you know, leave with two hookers. You know, I've seen, obviously I've been in Vegas a lot, so I've seen hookers there on many occasions, but this is the first time I saw two hookers get picked up by one guy and walked out the casino. They actually were in front of us at the cab line, and I was holding both of their hands, and it was a really, you know, special moment.
It was for him.
Seen a transaction like that take place. But overall, you know, gambling was brutal, as I mentioned. But also went to the Paris Pool and got a villa for both days, for 2 days during our trip. And my wife really likes the Paris Pool and likes the villas in particular because they're air conditioned. So if you're going in the summer, you want to get out of the heat, you can definitely go back in the villa, and it's air conditioned with TV and everything. And it's reasonably priced compared to other cabanas and other properties. Like it's $200 a day plus you know service charges, but it's definitely fairly priced in comparing, you know, somewhere like MGM or Mirage or even, you know, Aria. But definitely you know, worth the money if you've got a group and, you know, just want to relax and spend the day at the pool and get some seclusion and better beverage service. So that's it for me. But I, like I said, it's my, you know, my first time calling. So this is actually the third attempt to place a call, but I appreciate your patience. You probably laughed at my other two voicemails, but anyway, enjoy the show. I'm going back in September and looking forward to hearing the podcast next week. Thanks.
Just to make Scott feel better, pretty much every week I will have someone call and we'll stop and call back and start over.
Yeah.
So,
Feel bad.
No, don't feel bad at all. Happens all the time. And I encourage if somebody gets flustered and wants to call and start over, that's fine.
That's totally okay. We will not use it on the show. We'll just discard it and pretend like it never happened.
Exactly. So
unless you mention it.
Exactly. Thanks for the report. Great. Lots of good information. Yes. We do appreciate it. And it sounds like you had a wonderful time. All right. A couple more calls. Let's check in with John again.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. We hope you guys are doing well.
We are.
It's John and Uta from Western Pennsylvania. We wanted to call with downtown thoughts as well. We did a
club
crawl one night, starting at Atomic Liquors. Had great drinks there. Then made our way to Oak and Ivy, which was exceptional. They have an entire mules section of their menu.
Yes, please.
Made with house-made ginger beer. It was very good. Our next stop was Glutton. Glutton's a new restaurant on Carson, across the intersection, catty corner from Eat. And we had drinks and appetizers at their bar. They've just opened, and I imagine we'll be back there again. And then we stopped at Carson Kitchen for more drinks and more food. We just sat at the bar there, and Andrew, who we had as our bartender before, was behind the bar, and we had several really good drinks at Carson Kitchen as well. On a different day, we had a wonderful breakfast at Eat, and everyone has talked about Eat a great deal. But what we wanted to mention, we talked to the chef, relatively new to Eat, and asked about Chow, the second restaurant. And he said that the second restaurant should open in August or September. They anticipate being open and up and running for Life is Beautiful. So that'll be something for everybody to think about checking out when they're back in town for Vint. And we look forward to seeing you guys in October and hope you're doing well. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the report. I'm not sure if everybody heard that little weird audio thing where I said, what the, but that was odd. I don't know. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But good call. Good information.
Call. Very good call. I wasn't what the ing his conversation.
Right.
I was what the ing a little weird, technical glitch.
Like it kept skipping.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the call. We do appreciate
it. But you're not going to edit that out. You're just going to be like, all right.
Yeah, I'm just leaving it in at this point. I've had too many drinks and it's too late to be doing any editing. Okay, last call of the week. Let's check in with Tom again.
Hello, Tim, and hello to the lovely Michelle. This is Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
From Buda, Texas. And this is the last day of my stay here in Vegas. My dad and I and my brother had a fantastic overnight stay at the Grand Canyon. Returned and spent the rest of our trip at the D. Yesterday had a pretty awful experience and maybe overreacted by tweeting Derek Stevens and the D my concerns, but they were very quickly addressed by the executive assistant of Derek Stevens, and so I'm pretty happy with how things have turned out. I went last night to the Italian steakhouse at the D called, I think it's Andiamo, and I gotta say it was really freaking great.
Love that place.
I had the bone-in ribeye. It could be the best steak I've ever had. It is a little pricier than I'm accustomed to, but it's not pricier than you should expect to pay for a great dinner in Vegas. Then traveled with an old friend over to the Double Down Saloon, which is kind of my go-to place every trip.
Always fun.
Especially if I'm hanging out with a friend that's never been with me in Vegas, so that they can get the god-awful bacon martini. And she took it down like a champ, and I had one myself, even though I technically don't have to do that anymore because I've already been through that before, kind of like biting the heart out of the deer when you kill your first deer in the movie, Red Dawn. Having a bacon martini is kind of the same thing I like to christen my friends with.
Anyways, tastes the same too.
After that, I went to the Pepper Mill for the first time, and I've been here many, many, many times and passed that place many, many, many times, and I had a good breakfast. I will say that it's better than average. It wasn't anything that I would write home about, but not a bad place at 4 in the morning, or however late it was, 3 in the morning. It was not crowded at all. The prices were reasonable, and for what it's worth, it was better than average, and, you know, you can't go wrong there. Anyway, I'm glad to continue to hear the podcast after so many years. Congratulations on 500, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate the report.
Peppermill, huge portions.
True.
Decent food, not like outstanding, but good.
It's more about the quantity than quality there, but it's
An omelet's an omelet, but
it's all about the ambiance and the kind of cool room.
The neon around the room.
And really the fireside lounge is the better attraction, which is the bar side of things.
Oh, I could get down with an oatmeal cookie.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Yes.
That's a cool space.
Haven't been there in a while, but love it.
Yes, indeed.
Highly recommended.
Okay, before we go, we have some people to thank.
Do you have any thoughts about the bacon martini? I don't think I will ever have one again.
No, me neither.
I experienced that once, and my digestive system experienced that, and I think we're all good.
Yeah, a little greasy. All right, this week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. I chose the Sinatra at the Sands album because it's fucking timeless and perfect and awesome and Vegas-y and agreed. Every way, and I love it. It's $8 for MP3s, $14 for CD. It's such a great album. It always puts me in a Vegas-y mood. So good. And I'm not even, I mean, that kind of made me a Sinatra fan, that album. If you're not a Sinatra fan, listen to that.
And start with that one,
become one. It's so good. As always, thank you to everyone who clicks through our Amazon link before adding stuff to your shopping cart. We get a small cut. It helps support the podcast, and you don't have to spend any extra money, and we do appreciate it a lot. Thank you. Many other thank yous this week for some PayPal donations. Thank you to Philip, a Karma donation for his 12th wedding anniversary trip to Niagara Falls on Memorial Day.
Congratulations.
Not even a Vegas Karma donation. It's a Niagara Falls Karma donation, but
hope
we do appreciate
that. Have a great time,
that.
And thank you.
Taylor.
Good dude.
Frequent Karma donator. Short trip earlier this week. Hope it went well. Actually, yes. I know based on his photos on his on the Facebook group, I think he had some tremendous video poker luck.
Yay.
Again. So
good.
Glad that worked out for you. He's David,
a very nice dude.
He is heading out for his birthday on May 28th with his wife. They're both playing in the World Series of Poker Colossus Tournament. I know a lot of our listeners are playing in that.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, I hope you do really well. Yes.
And thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Danielle and Tim.
Yay.
Yay, friends of ours from
super nice people.
Previous Vegas trips, headed to Vegas for Danielle's 40th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Congratulations and happy birthday. Great excuse for a Vegas trip.
Yes.
Just a couple days away. And they are going to be at VIMF, which is awesome too.
Hooray.
And they said, welcome to the family, Max.
Aw, thanks.
He's sleeping right now, which is his best state.
Yes.
Jeremy, a first-time Karma donation for his trip, which is happening right now. Hope you have a great time. Yes. And we wish you luck.
Thank you and good luck.
Becky, with a Karma donation for a coworker. Her coworker, Steve, has a trip starting this weekend. And apparently he turned her on to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
And says that's a very nice gesture.
Thank you, and good luck to him.
Thank you, Becky. Andy, with a Karma donation, going to Vegas and playing in the World Series of Poker next week.
Thank you. Good luck with that.
Needs the Karma. Good luck. Yes. We do appreciate it, and we hope
very
that
competitive.
You do well.
I hope you do well.
It'd be so cool if one of our listeners did, like, really, really well in the World Series of Poker.
Yes, it would.
Started out, like, with one of the low-level tournaments and worked their way through it and won the whole fucking shebang.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be righteous. Eddie, going on Sunday through Wednesday, celebrating their 5th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
We do appreciate it, and congratulations, and thank you.
Thank you, and good luck.
Ashley, with a Karma donation for an upcoming trip to Windstar World Casino in Oklahoma.
Yep.
She said, God help me.
Oh, well, good luck, and thank you.
Is that because you're going to be in Oklahoma? Or because I'm kidding. I don't want to get hay mail from Oklahoma listeners. It's a lovely place. Michael, with a recurring monthly donation. We do appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Neil said his wife and he are heading to Vegas next week for an annual trip, and that's the Karma part. However, also wanted to thank us for the work we're doing to build and grow a great online community. Not just great help when planning the trip, but also a great escape.
Oh, good.
That's really cool. And he said, really helped me through a rough winter this year.
Aw.
Cool.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you like the Facebook group and our little
thing
community.
We did
and
to help.
It's kind of awesome to have our names even tied to that. So. Yes. Good luck, and thank you. We do appreciate it. And finally, Hetz, going back just 30 days after his recent May Vegas Palooza trip. That's our listeners, fucking Vegas fanatics.
Well, I've told people the best way to get over Vegas depression is to book another trip.
Absolutely. He's going solo this time. MGM sent a great deal. Couldn't say no.
I love those, too. I love getting the deal you can't pass up.
Hells yeah. Have a great time, Hetz. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
As always, you can find our website at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you've got any Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We would love to get them. 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. Once in a while, once on a rare occasion, I'll periscope something like I did tonight, ruining the entire podcast. No, it was short. I don't think that was that bad, was it?
I don't think so. It wasn't like me in the chat where you were yelling at me the whole time and saying, girl, pay attention to me.
I would have been like that if I had done it for long, though, because it's hard when you're paying attention to the comments and all that shit. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to, I can't multitask.
Oh, do you have sympathy now for me being in the chat? And are you sad you yelled at me?
No, you chose to do that. You could have turned it off at any time.
Huh.
No sympathy.
Okay.
702.
Interesting.
I know. 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you. If you're going to Vegas, if you've been to Vegas, if you're in Vegas, call us with your thoughts, reviews, whatever. We do appreciate it. As always, thank you so much for emailing, listening, commenting, calling, Facebooking, Periscoping, Instagramming, whatever. Thanks for listening to the show. We do appreciate it. We will be back soon with another show, and we hope you have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.